Hello, Marion Pallister, Vice Chair of Justice and Peace Scotland, and I'm here in our Glasgow office with Father Bruno Ciceri, who is a member of the Vatican Dicastery for Promoting Human Integral Development and the Director for the Apostleship of the Sea International, which provides pastoral care for seafarers and fishermen and for their families. Welcome, Father.
Thank you.
Now, you may not know this, but the Apostleship of the Sea was actually founded in Glasgow in 1920. That's anywhere in the world. Here in Glasgow, that's where it was founded. And that, of course, was when Britain had one of the largest merchant fleets in the world, employing many thousands of British seafarers. There were big hostels in all our ports, which were manned by volunteers. But now the world's a very different place for today's seafarers and our fishermen round the coasts. There are small crews, often recruited from developing world countries where wages are low. Owners register ships under so-called flags of convenience to avoid stringent regulatory controls. And instead of hostels where they can stay for a few weeks, today's seafarers need the proactive outreach of a ship visit to assess practical needs, backed up by a modern drop-in centre inside the docks. In my own diocese, Argyll and the Isles, traditional fishing has changed out of all recognition. Our Apostleship of the Sea chaplain tells us that even in a rural and island community like ours, the apostleship may have to deal with the challenges of human trafficking. Now, Father Bruno has international experience and he's here in Glasgow for the launch of the Apostleship of the Sea Centenary Year plans for 2020 aboard the Tall Ship in Glasgow. Before we go on to other matters, Father Bruno, I wonder if you can tell us first about the kind of celebrations that might be planned for 2020.
We are still on the planning stage, but first of all, we have to say we are coming here to give thanks for the history of EOS that started from Glasgow and it developed all around the world. So from Glasgow to the world and back to Glasgow again. The centennial celebration will be a thanksgiving for all the people that during these 100 years they have served the seafarers, the fishers and their family all over the world. At the moment, I think we are present in around 310 ports around the world in 55 countries. And of course, to celebrate 100 years is also to take inspiration for the next 100 years that we are called to serve the seafarers. It started here by the idea of a few lay people and develop around the world. Now we are coming back to Glasgow to get another inspiration to serve the people, because the maritime world has changed quite a lot, but our presence being with the people on board of the ship is important. The Apostleship of the Sea is the church sailing with the seafarers and the fishers. So this will be the celebration, and we hope that all the people in Glasgow, they will feel proud for this and they will attend this centennial.
It is certainly something to be very proud of, but perhaps you can explain, you've said that it spread around the sea and your work has taken you around the world and your work has taken you around the world. I wonder if you could say a little bit more about the needs of today's seafarers and fishermen and how the Apostleship of the Sea is able to reach out to them.
Yes. In 1922, the Apostleship of the Sea received the blessing from Pius XI, and he said, I wish that this ministry will develop on the two sides of the ocean. And that's what happened. So we are present all around the world, and we serve the people in many different ways, because as we were saying, the maritime world has changed quite a lot. Before, the seafarers, they used to stay on the port long time. But now with the container, with the mechanization and everything, seafarers, they stay in the port really for short time. Sometimes You see a container ship entering into the port in the morning, 8 o'clock, and it's leaving at 6 o'clock in the evening. So seafarers, they don't have more time to come ashore. So we are the one going to visit them on board. And of course, one important thing for the seafarers is communication, to be in touch with their family. Now, thanks God, we have internet, we have Wi-Fi, but on board of the ship, there is no Wi-Fi. So we are the one that we are bringing Wi-Fi so that the seafarers, they can contact their family. Often the seafarers, they encounter also problems with their job. For example, they are not paid the salary regularly, and so we assist them to make sure that they get their salary. Sometimes they are victim of accident and they are left in the city because the ship cannot wait for a seafarer if he gets hurt and is brought to the hospital. And when the ships leave the port, this poor seafarer is alone. But he has a family, and the family is the chaplain of Apostleship of the Sea that goes to visit him, that he's acting also often as an interpreter with the doctor and everything. And we stay with the seafarer until he is fit to go back, either to his family or to go back on board of the ship. So this is what we are doing. Another important aspect of Apostleship of the Sea is that we have an international network. So we can assist the seafarers everywhere. We have cases where the seafarers was, for example, in Kenya, and the chaplain in Kenya would go and visit him. And after, when the seafarers went back to the Philippines, AOS was also there in the Philippines to assist them and to provide assistance also to their families. So we work internationally and we provide assistance everywhere in the world.
And that sounds very much like a pastoral kind of care, but there are bad forces at work in the world these days. My mother used to look for what she called dolphin three tuna, she was trying to buy fish that where no other creatures had been harmed and so on. I've been reading and listening to you, Father Bruno, talking about how anxious you are that we should also be concerned about the humans, that it's not just dolphin-free tuna, we should be thinking about the human element involved in the fishing industry.
Yeah, generally when we talk about trafficking of people, they think about trafficking for sex industry. And when I mentioned that there is trafficking in forced labor and slave labor in the fishing industry, people, they can't look at me surprised. They don't believe that this is possible. But I think this is a hidden truth that not many people knows, especially in Southeast Asia, but also I think here in Scotland. You have read in the newspaper about people from the third world country that have been trafficked into work on board of fishing vessel with a very low salary or not salary at all, that they work for long hours and they are not given enough food to do the work, and also their living conditions often are not the best that we can imagine. And we have to be concerned about the dolphin, the turtle, and all these creatures of the sea. But we have also to be concerned about the people that they are working on these fishing vessels. So when we go to the supermarket and we buy frozen food, we should ask ourselves why this frozen food is so cheap. You know, the big fishing vessel owner, they cannot save money on the fishing vessel because it has to be maintained. They cannot save money on the petrol because the fishing vessel has to go. The maintenance of the nets and everything. The only place where they can cut down on the cost is on the labor. And they are where they make the profit, because they pay the fishermen very little, very low.
Now, we've been told, even in my own very rural diocese of Argyll in the Isles, that there have been instances of men who've been trafficked and so on, and there are court cases to come up. how bad are the conditions that some, not necessarily the ones here in the UK, but around the world, how bad are the situations for these guys?
They are really bad, and they surprised even myself. I just came back from a trip where I visited Thailand, Myanmar, Vietnam, and Cambodia. And I know that in the fishing industry that there are people that have been trafficked for a number of years, but it was really shocking for me in Cambodia to hear fishermen saying that they've been trafficked for 10, 12, 13 years. And if you just let pass the joke, there was a fisherman, he said, I was on board of a ship, a fishing vessel, for so long that I didn't remember how a woman was. No, because it's been there for a long time. So, and these people, they have been witnessing so much violence and killings, and they have been exploited so much that even when they go back to their country, they need a lot of psychological support and assistance. And these are the people that they make it back. But there are also many that they are at sea forever.
So it really is very little different from the slave trade that we imagine fondly finished at least a century, more than a century ago.
No, slavery, trafficking of people is still there. It's still there. It's unfortunately that many people do not know about, and they don't think about when they go to the market to buy fish.
So it really is one of the most important things that we can do as consumers here is to think about what we're buying and how it comes to be so cheap. Are there other things that we as consumers and indeed as citizens, as Christians can do to assist you guys as part of the Apostleship of the Sea?
For sure, I think the support should be given to the Apostleship of the Sea here in Scotland and more generally in the United Kingdom. But I think also we as Christians, we should pressure also the retailer that they will make sure that in their supply chain, everything is clean and there is no forced labor, there is no trafficking people working on board of the fishing vessels that they are providing seafood for their companies. Because there is a moral responsibility also for us when we buy things that they should be coming from work that is being paid properly. Because I think none of us will be willing to work for $2 a day for 15, 16 hours a day in all kind of condition. Because, you know, when you are out at sea with the fishing vessel and there is a school of fish, you cannot simply say, oh, it's 6 o'clock, I go home, I close the office. And you have to start catching the fish until the school of fish is finished. You have to fill up the whole of the ship with fish, because if you wait tomorrow, the fish are no longer there.
So we should think not just about what we buy, but perhaps about signing the petitions that we see online, that kind of thing, as
yes,
part of our justice and peace work.
Yeah, I think that is important. And I think we should be aware that what we buy comes from the sacrifice of people. And at the Congress in 2017, that we had a Congress in Taiwan, we talk about the situation of the fishermen, Cardinal Bo of Myanmar. He was saying the fish that they are caught, they are swimming in the blood of my people.
That's quite a thought, quite a thought. And I wonder, you've given us some good advice, you've given us a very, very powerful thought there to go out on, but can I put you on the spot and ask you to close the interview with a prayer for all of those people and for justice and peace around the world?
May Almighty God, we would like to ask your assistance to increase our awareness for the people that they are working at sea. People that they provide all the goods for us because 90% of the goods are transported by the commercial shipping, but also especially for the fishermen that they provide seafood for us. We ask you to protect them, to bless them, and be with them, especially in the moment of difficulties and danger. Be there. And also we ask your mother and our mother to be the mother of all the fishers and the seafarers around the world. Mary Stella Maris, pray for all the seafarers and fishers around the world.
Thank you so much. Thank you.